Blog Talk Radio. see how many views she's had on that. Sure. I bet it's quite a bit, because ever since then she's become quite the...
I changed my closing statement a little tiny bit.
Sorry, folks, I just wanted to... I was very curious to see how many views she's had on this so far.
I changed my closing statement a little tiny bit, but didn't respond. You know, I'm appalled that when I talk about the neoconservatives, somehow it's twisted to be some sort of a racist comment. This is
That's great. Well, she's only had 3,000 comments on there, so... not comments, but actual... views. So hopefully, you know, after tonight, maybe they'll get a few more out there. It'll go viral. It'll be real interesting. Let's see. Something else that came up that I wanted to cover. Hold on a second. There's a... I wanted to cover this tonight because I don't think we've ever spent this much time on this one subject as far as playing a full video. But there was a tremendous thing that happened recently. Came up recently, and I'm hoping I can get to this tonight. I'd like to really... something else that was kind of interesting, black markets in gold and cigarettes are exploding in Greece. Two separate stories in Greek newspapers appear to show a common theme in terms of what's happening to the Greek economy as the states become more and more desperate for revenue at a time when the private sector is more and more desperate to avoid paying it. And very interesting article. Unfortunately, I mean, a little difficult here. I don't know why. Well, this happened to me before. It won't happen again. Okay. Nope. Well, okay, that's not too good. Technical difficulties are unbelievable, hard, incredibly hard to avoid, and I apologize for that. But something happened here, and I can't seem to regulate it. And I apologize. Still don't have claims that I don't have internet service, and I don't know why that is. So I'm disconnected. Yeah. For some reason, I've been disconnected from the internet here. I don't know why that is. I'm going to continue running the show since I know I'm on a phone line. But for some reason, my internet connection has gone down, and I don't know why that is. I'm trying to repair it, but I want to continue doing the show as well. Let me see if I can, anything I can do here. Good. Not too good. Working on it, folks, and I'm really sorry. This always happens when you want it to happen, at least. interesting article that came up today. Marijuana users are safer drivers than non-marijuana users, new study shows. In a recent study for autoinsurance.org, a national, quote, provider for online car insurance, quotes, cites a stronger correlation between traffic-related accidents and marijuana use. The study, which looks at statistics regarding accidents, traffic, and violations, and insurance prices, seeks to dispel the thought that driving while stoned is dangerous. The study for autoinsurance.org points out that the only significant effect that marijuana has on operating a motor vehicle is slower driving. For autoinsurance.org says, while referencing a study by the U.S. National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, that the driving slower is arguably a positive thing, and that driving under the influence of marijuana might even make you a safer driver. A similar study by the NHTSA shows that drivers with THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, in their systems have accident responsibility rates below that of drug-free drivers. So there you go, folks. Isn't that interesting? Stats are showing that pot is good for you. Amazing. Good for everybody. I'm still having difficulty here, folks, so I'm trying to bow out in a graceful way. Japanese professor in Fukushima and media, children bleeding from their nostrils, skin diseases, cardiovascular diseases. This is what's happening in Tokyo, folks. I don't know if I'll be able to play this or not. I'm going to try. No, I can't. But I'm going to ask you to go to YouTube to check this out if you're interested. It's a Japanese professor on Fukushima and media. Okay? That's the title. Japanese professor on Fukushima and media. Children bleeding from nostrils, skin diseases, cardiovascular diseases. That is on YouTube. Okay, check it out. Japanese professor on Fukushima. It's about 34 minutes, but it's very good. And you might want to. I'm sorry that I can't bring it to you tonight. I don't know why. I just don't know why. Something is trying to. Something interrupted here. That's what happened. Sometimes I wonder if I just have too many gadgets on there. It just seems to have pop-ups and everything else, and I try to condemn them all and get rid of most of this stuff through. Warfare. But I just can't, for some reason, unless I close down my system, which I don't want to do. Hold on one second. God, this is so maddening, you know. Oh, yeah. This is another interesting article. I don't know if I'll be able to get the whole thing down, but I just don't understand why I can't get this thing to work. Connections here with my wires. Shows that I'm on, but something just knocked me right out. Well, having difficulty reading my stories here because I can't get on the internet. I can only read parts of them. This particular article states that the modern totalitarian state is a psychotherapist for the whole of society. It acts on the elitist principle that it knows everything and the people deserve to be mind-controlled and brainwashed for their own good. Defenders of the totalitarian system demonize their democratic critics as insane and suppress political speech with the mind-control techniques that have grown out of modern psychological and mental health research. If you point out their contradictions, lies, and inconsistencies in their narratives, they call you a conspiracy theorist and chew you out with psychobabble. And if you acknowledge that you fear their despotic vision of a Western society in the world, they call you paranoid and have you say you have a psychiatric disorder. Right? Now, you can read more of this on Fear of Tyranny is Now Treated by Psychiatric Disorder. You can get this article on David Icke's site. Unfortunately, I'm still disconnected somehow to this, so I don't understand why my frequency is shot. There's nothing here. My phone is still working, so I know I'm still connected to. So I'm still doing the program, so we'll try to continue doing that. And in the meantime, I'm trying to reconnect with my. This other computer that I have, and for some reason that one is giving me a problem as well. Take a minute to. Unfortunately, this is a night when I don't have Lila to help co-pilot here. We'll see what comes up. Anyway, there's so many important videos I wanted to play tonight. How dangerous is the radioactive wave headed toward the U.S.? That's a five-minute video, and I would love to be able to play this for you, but I can't. This won't play. Excuse me for a second, folks. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. For some reason, my system is just on this computer is just shut down. I do not know why. You can bear with me for 1 second. Computer at the same time here. That one seems to have the connection. This one doesn't. I don't know why. My computer guy told me I should get a new computer. I agree with him on that, but I haven't figured out what to get yet. And one more second here, and I'll have this set up for you. Okay. technical difficulties arise, and you just, there's nothing you can do about them. It's just, that's live radio. You know, it's kind of fun in a way, but it isn't all that much fun when it's happening to you. But there's something wrong with my own thing here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try desperately to shut down this system, which doesn't shut down the whole system.
Okay.
Still in there. All right. But it's going to kick it back in, and maybe I can work with it. I hate to do that, but it'll take a second or two. In the meantime, sorry, this is must be very boring to you here at this point, but I didn't mean that to happen. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot that I can play right now. I can't even go into, maybe I can go into a music break. I'm going to take a quick music break, and we'll be right back after this. A little music here. Okay.
Ballot, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they could switch them around.
I didn't even get to vote. They closed my polling station. But yeah, it was. It's people are pretty pissed off up here, and I don't think we're the only place in the United States that this happens. I think this is going on, and it's just not getting out in the news, and it might be something to look into for a future show.
Absolutely right, though, on that, because we've been covering election fraud for years on our show, and I started covering it in 2000, actually, on my television shows, and then I did my radio programs. I started in 2003, and we've been covering those. We've been covering national voter fraud for all those years, and there's a lot of it going on. They completely wiped out Ron Paul.
They just made him a non-issue. You know,
ridiculous.
I don't understand why our neighbors and our fellow countrymen would want to live in a country like that with just blatantly obvious disrespect toward us as the taxpayer. You know, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I can't see my parents and grandparents tolerating this. I think it's happening now for a reason, and it didn't happen 40 years ago. Because I don't think those people from World War II would have tolerated what's going on now.
I don't think so. They'd all be in their 80s and 90s now, and they don't have much to say. But you got assholes like John McCain. You know, he thinks he talks for them all. You know what I mean? But I can't believe it. I just find it impossible to believe that. That people are buying what they're saying, you know.
Exactly. Well, I think a lot of people they're out there saying what the problem is, but no one seems to be able to have a solution. You know, come forth with anything. And I've always thought that if the people just challenged their elections and challenged what these guys were doing, I mean, there's obvious documentation and evidence that they're doing things wrong. If the people would challenge it, maybe push a petition to have a new election. But I can see why that wouldn't work, because we're doing that right now, and they basically said no, we're going to let it stand the way it is. So it's like they're egging you on and telling you you cannot fight back all at the same time.
Absolutely. Unbelievable.
And who knows? I mean, I know history proves or shows what people would have done maybe thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago, but, the proof right now is people are just going to stand by and allow it to happen. You know, they're not going to do anything. It's just everything that you're telling us is going to capitulate toward that end, and it's going to happen because we're not going to stand up and take it back.
Have you heard anything about this poor guy, George Zimmerman?
Heard that they had a news conference and he was charged with second-degree murder, I believe.
But what makes me laugh is that this came out today. From InfoWars, have you ever heard of InfoWars with Alex Jones?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the individual, yeah.
Well, he said today, InfoWars source confirmed Zimmerman will not be arrested nor prosecuted for homicide. So much for his belief. Whoa, man, did he get blown out of that one?
So Lindsay Williams wasn't on that story, huh?
Catch it, because it makes me laugh when I read it, because I read it right after I had heard that he got picked up, you know. And it's
I'm sure. Now, has he been picked up, or do they know where he's at, or?
They got him. They got him under arrest now. They picked him up. Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I knew they were saying they couldn't find him, so.
Oh, no.
Maybe.
No. That's what I heard today. No, they got him. They knew where he was. But it said here, InfoWars. Oh, I see. That was yesterday. That was dated yesterday. I'm sorry. It came out. It was on today's bulletin, but it was also dated yesterday. But he says publicly, The public is currently awaiting a decision from Florida's courts on whether or not the neighbor watched volunteer George Zimmerman will be charged for firing the fatal shot that killed the teenage Trayvon Martin. Mainline pundits even agree now that if Zimmerman were to arrest for first-degree murder or even a lesser charge, it would have already happened by now. It's also clear that even if he were to face a criminal trial, both the media and the certain left-leaning politicians, stellar performances to date, have all but gathered that I guarantee that George Zimmerman's hearing would likely descend into an embarrassing O.J. Simpson-style circus and make it more complicated to assemble Zimmerman, a politically correct jury of his peers. It goes on and on and on. But it's like, man, did he blow that one?
Well, the media has all but tried and convicted and sentenced this individual, you know.
I know. It's just, you know, Alex is usually, you know, he's hyped up a lot, but he's usually got good facts, you know. And I'm surprised he blew it on that one.
That might have just been, you know, a personal opinion shot at. It is a crapshoot 50-50, right? He was making one statement whether or not he would be even tried or convicted. That's kind of two things, but, you know, he was insinuating he wasn't even going to be picked up for trial, and, you know, obviously he has been picked up for trial. So, I mean, he took a shot, you know, it didn't work out. Oh, well. I mean, Alex is usually right because he gets a lot of information, but, you know.
You have smartphone?
Excuse me?
You have a smartphone?
A smartphone?
Yeah.
What now?
Well, the reason I said that is because the new microchip knows just where you are, indoors or outdoors.
My wife has a cell phone.
Yeah, it's in your cell phone. This one's a smartphone. I don't know what the hell the difference is, but... says, imagine if you had something like this under your skin, because that's the plan, unless enough humans, they become conscious and see the bloody obvious. And that's it says Broadcom has just rolled out a chip for smartphones that promises to indicate local ultra precisely, possibly within a few centimeters, vertically and horizontally, indoors and out. And it says that unprecedented accuracy of the Broadcom 4752 chip results from the sheer breadth of sensors from which it can process information. It can receive signals from the global navigation satellites, cell phone towers, and Wi-Fi hotspots, and also put input from gyroscopes, accelerometers, step counters, and altimeters. Imagine that in your damn little cell phone.
And, you know, I'm sure it's in all the air... avionics in the plane too.
Even if it's
a new, most of the old Piper Cubs, they have old avionics, but the newer planes, you know, they update with GPS. I'm sure all the GPS systems have it in it. And that kind of proves the point that they don't even need a RFID chip. I think that's something for the future after they got everyone where they want them. But, I mean, basically people are voluntarily chipping themselves.
Yeah, probably. Probably true.
Or just, you know, there's, you know, they'll put some kind of modern RFID chip in your state ID driver's license, you know. So they're going to guarantee you're chipped either in your car, in your cell phone, your ID, your Ray-Ban sunglasses, you know. They're going to chip you somehow, you know.
Crazy, I'll tell you that. But I got something here I wanted to play people. It's about a two-minute video. Coming up here in a second, if I can find it.
Well, that sounds great, Leo. I'll just get off, and I'll let you continue with your show if you want.
Thanks, Guy. I appreciate you calling, Tim, and thanks for saving me there.
You're absolutely welcome.
Very appreciate it.
Hey, why don't you... Do you have a chat room?
Yeah, I do, but, yeah, you're at... I do have a chat room for this, yeah. But...
Because it never seems to come up when I go on blog.
No, you know, I'm terrible at multitasking, dude. Unless
okay.
And unless I'm, if I'm by myself and there's a chat room going and I got to...
So that product only works on driving, doesn't work on operating the computer then, right?
What's that?
That product, marijuana.
It'll work on a computer, I'll tell you. But it's,
yeah.
But the problem with is that, you know, because the, I do have that chat room, but it's just so annoying. Unless I have Lila here with me, you know, she can read or do something, you know, and I can read the chat, you know what I mean? And respond
yeah.
to that. But doing it at the same time is a little rough because I'm trying to do a show, taking calls and interviews and stuff like that, and then I have to deal with the chat room is really kind of a struggle. And the way they got it set up on you have to black out. The way they got it set up on Blog Talk is you can't have the show, the studio, and the chat on all on the same page. It's a pain in the ass, so you have to go, you know what I mean?
I hear it. It was a pleasure talking with you today, sir.
Well, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. And,
okay.
Keep tuning in. We'll try to give you a decent show there. All right?
Sounds good, Will.
Hey, thanks a lot, Phil.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hang up. Yeah, bye. And well, I thank Tim from... all the way from Anchorage, Alaska there. Who's been listening. I've got this article kinda took me for a loop because I don't know if anybody's been following the MF Global nightmare that you know, stole almost $1 billion from their investors. It was run by the notorious senator from New Jersey and former governor of New Jersey, none other than Mr. Corzine himself. And it's absolutely amazing what this guy was capable of stealing. It says, creditors of MF Global Holdings Limited said its failed brokerage unit may have transferred $717 million in customer funds to 8 institutions in October. The trustee for the unit isn't helping with a global analysis of books and records. It says creditors also identified 13 potential items of value in the status updated file in Manhattan Bankruptcy Court Thursday. One is a $290 million of non-customer money that was used or held by the brokerage as of January 1st. Another potential asset is $875 million that the MF Global Holdings gave to the brokerage in the days before its October 31st collapse, creditors said. This is some of the first news that's come out on this actual thing, and I was curious to see it because if they don't prosecute this correctly, they're going to be in the... you know, this will be the biggest bank heist probably in history. One of the biggest bank heists. While MF Global Holdings is unwinding in bankruptcy to repay creditors, its former operating unit, brokerage MF Global Inc., is liquidating under the Securities Investors Protection Act to repay customers who are estimated to be out of $1.6 billion. The holding company and brokerage unit each have their own trustee, and the two have disputed whether certain assets belong to customers or to creditors. Lack of SEPA trustee participation is a major hurdle, the creditors said in their report. MF Global Holdings has concluded it is unlikely that support from global affiliates is forthcoming. So anyway, MF Global Holdings run by former Goldman Sachs Group co-chairman John Corzine until his November 4th resignation, filed the eighth largest U.S. bankruptcy after a $6.3 billion trade on its own behalf on bonds of some of Europe's most indebted nations led to margin calls. Its bankruptcy filing listed assets of $41 billion and debt of $39.7 billion. So that's what's going on there, folks. So just so you know, you heard it. Give me 1 second here. I'm going to... Well, it turns out dental x-rays are linked to twofold increase in brain cancer. Yeah, I don't know. How often does your dentist insist on you giving you a dental x-ray just to make sure all is well? While a dental x-ray may be justifiable, if there is some serious risk, research is pointing out that too many of these x-rays may result in a twofold risk increase in brain cancer, known as meningioma. Sorry for that pronouncement. It's by Activist Post. And it says for the research, university examines the records of 1,433 patients were diagnosed with meningioma between 2006 and 2011. This gets really detailed. A little much for me to read right now. But anyway, don't get any more X-rays. Bad for your health. This might be interesting to you. You've heard of SOPA 2.0. Let me just see what this is going to tell you here. It's a short video.
The internet helped to defeat SOPA, PIPA, etc., and those were the Stop Online Piracy Act, which could have had devastating consequences for the internet because of how broad they were and how they could have applied to almost any website and shut them down. Well, don't worry. They're back. Now they got a new law that they are proposing called the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, CISPA. And what does it do? Well, it manages to get a lot of the guys who fought them on SOPA and PIPA on their side. Now, how does it do that? Well, it tells the internet companies, look, our bad. We didn't mean to go after you guys, okay? You're giant corporations as well. We're totally happy with you guys. What we want to do is go after anyone that is across the government, and we know you guys would never make that mistake. So what we want to do is protect against cybersecurity issues. Now, guys, are there real cybersecurity issues? Of course there are, right? So, and should the government guard against that? Yes, they should, and they should take action. The problem is that they write these bills so broadly that they wind up not only protecting against cybersecurity threats, which are real, but, of course, wind up helping the government be able to shut down websites that they're not happy with. Now, you might say, come on, are they really going to do that? Hell yes, they're going to do that. Let me give you a perfect example, WikiLeaks. So the government already pressured PayPal, everybody else, no, you're not allowed to take payments, and it devastated WikiLeaks. If they have a law like this, they could just simply come in and tell the ISP provider, look at this law that we have, it's over, shut down WikiLeaks. So let me tell you what's in it. They say that, this is quoting from the bill, information in the possession of an element of the intelligence community directly pertaining to a vulnerability or a threat to a system or a network government of a government or private entity. So those are the threats that they are talking about. Now, there was a lot of words in there. Basically, if you're a threat to the government, okay, that's interesting, and there are real threats to the government. But also, did you notice they snuck in private entity? So if you're a threat to a private entity, they might also shut you down. I don't know how that's a cybersecurity threat. I mean, look, it might be a threat to that company, and, you know, if they maliciously, you know, harm their business, then you've got other laws that you could apply to it. But here, of course, they're looking to shut down certain websites. So here are the other descriptions of that cyber threat. Quote, efforts to degrade, disrupt, or destroy systems or networks would be under cyber threats. Now, that's fine. That part I have no problem with. Here comes the second part where it gets broader. Quote, theft or misappropriation of private or government information, intellectual property, or personally identifiable information. So if you are a threat to a private corporation and they view you as challenging their intellectual property, right or wrong, well, they can work with the government to make sure that they shut you down. Is that too broad? Of course that's too broad. Now it worked. All of a sudden, Facebook is totally on board for this look. They're like, oh, I get it. There's something in it for me. You're not coming after me. You're going to help me go after my competition or whatever, the things that I don't like. Or if there's the large entertainment companies. Oh, somebody's doing pirated stuff. We're going to go after them. And I don't want anybody to get me wrong. There is real, effective, and narrow ways to go after pirated material, which is a different issue, and to go after cybersecurity threats to the government, which is a separate issue, okay? You can do that. But every time they go to do that, they just coincidentally write the law so broad that, golly gee, we can shut down any website the government doesn't like or large corporations don't like. So in the end, if they pass this, instead of passing PIPA or SOPA, well, they might have the same effect in terms of shutting down our site, and they also have the second effect of merging business and state even further together. You know that in this law, not only can government and those big corporations work together, but they can also bring in third-party, cybersecurity companies, and then they would have access to your private information as well. But they assure us they would not abuse it. No, they would only use it to help the government make the appropriate judgments on whether something is a cybersecurity threat or not. Now, would they sell that information to other people? No, probably not. Can you find out? Is it open and transparent? Oh, no. That would all be state secret. So you couldn't find out who has your information and what they're doing with it, because that's a top national security interest. Well, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, who tries to protect the Internet, isn't buying this. And here's what they had to say about the law. It's a little piece of SOPA wrapped up in a bill that's supposedly designed to facilitate detection of and defense against cybersecurity threats. The language is so vague that an ISP could use it to monitor communications of subscribers for potential infringement of intellectual property. An ISP could even interpret this bill as allowing them to block accounts believed to be infringing, block access to websites like the Pirate Bay believed to carry infringing content, or take other measures provided they claimed it was motivated by cybersecurity concerns. And there you have it, folks. Here comes big government married to big business, and that is a steamroller that is very, very hard to stop. So now this will be a good test case. Let's see how strong the Internet is. I'm afraid that I'm a little pessimistic on this one. I said that we could win on SOPA. I accurately call that one. Why? Because we had huge corporations on our side, Facebook, Google, et cetera. Now we're on our own. And without those guys backing us up, good luck to us.
That was Young Turk. His work I appreciate. Always have. Couldn't cut the crap on mainstream television. He wasn't a hypocrite, which was great. I don't know if you want to hear it or not. I'll let you hear part of it. If you think it's good, I kind of got a kick out of it, but I'll leave that up to you. Exposing the collapse agenda. Okay, and it's about 4 minutes long. We'll play just a little of it. And like it.
Hi, my name is Charlie McGrath. I'm the founder of WideAwakeNews.com and a host on the Rinse Radio Network. Are we experiencing a breakdown that will lead to utter collapse? Utter collapse financially, utter collapse politically, utter collapse of a military superpower, and utter collapse of a once great republic? I believe the answer is yes. I think the only point left to achieve in an agenda is the phase we're in now. The phase where we shifted all the failure from a very select few to the people of the world, that's been achieved. The point where we had to write legislation that turned the country into a Stasi police state, that's been done. The point we're in now is the get everybody fighting amongst themselves point of the agenda. If you look at the mainstream media, the Drudge Report today, top three stories, Reverend Wright, he's back, Clarence Thomas, the Obama administration's re-election campaign isn't diverse enough. These are the top three stories. A few few days ago, the top story was a neo-Nazi group in Sanford, the same town Trayvon Martin was killed in, patrolling the streets armed to the teeth. Every mainstream source imaginable grabbed a hold of this, put a titillating picture on with it, and ran it as news. It took a real journalist to find out that, you know what, maybe this isn't even true. The police department down there, nor anybody surveyed outside of the one alleged neo-Nazi that was interviewed, has ever heard of this group. But that doesn't stop the mainstream media from publishing it and running with it because it's titillating and because it raises tension in this country. Black, white, gay, straight, man, woman, Muslim, Jew, Gentile, Christian, get them all fighting with each other. And then we won't see the real reason why we're at this point in time. We won't blame the people who truly got us here. And we certainly won't do anything that affects change. The fact is, economically, our country is no better off than it was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We are heading into the same depression, or if we're not already in it. We're heading into the same place. A nation that has no infrastructure. A nation that has nothing to offer the people that call themselves citizens of this nation, other than more war and more lies and more corruption. Case in point is an article I wrote last week, the government coming out with an 8.3% unemployment number, pretending everything is getting better because we've spent trillions of dollars bailing out firms we now call too big to fail. But the fact of the matter is, in order to get this kind of 8.3% fictitious fantasy number, they had to lower the participation rate. In the last several years, 4 years, we've lost 10 million people out of the participation rate. And just to give you an idea of how many people that is, it would take the city of Dallas, Salt Lake, San Diego, Spokane, Nashville, Roanoke, and Cincinnati, the people living in those city limits. If you doubled that number, that gives you the amount of people that have left the participation rate, that are no longer in the working pool. Yet that isn't stopping the mainstream media from reporting things are getting better. We've spent this nation into absolute financial servitude. We are going to owe it all to the same bankers who got us here in the first place. You see what's happening in Greece. When it becomes too onerous, the debt, the government's replaced, technocrats are put in, and people are launched into indentured servitude forever, to the point where a 65-year-old man will stand before Parliament, put a gun to his head, and kill himself with a suicide note saying, I'd rather die than dig through dumpsters. The planet is heading to the same place. This country is heading to the same place. Understand, when you turn on the mainstream media, you are being fed propaganda. The final point is to get you to blame the guy next door to you, or the lady down the street on welfare, or one of the 50 million people on food stamps. The notion is to get you to blame them for the condition of the country, not the ones claiming to be doing God's work, such as Lloyd Blankfein. The situation is dire. The situation promises to only get worse. And if we don't do what we can now to mentally prepare, it will hit us like a freight train. Stories are attached. That's all I got.
Krabby Duck's trick. Krabby Dog tricks. Krabby Dog tricks. That's who put that up. Exposing collapsed economy. I thought it was pretty good, you know, considering. At least he was on a roll, you know. Let me see if I got something else here I can. Well, I was so glad that Rick Santorum finally backed out of the race. I mean, it's beyond me how he could have stayed in so long, you know, but, you know, what can I tell you, the way the guy is.
I couldn't get out of there.
Oh, Lila's here. Finally. Oh, my God, you got 5 minutes left.
Oh, so what's going on?
I had a nice call from a guy from Alaska.
Really?
Ron. And I don't run out.
What did he have to say? Tim from Alaska.
Tim, yeah. And he was listening. I had a problem where my internet went boom, you know, went out again.
Oh, Oh,
and
boy.
I couldn't read the thing, and he called up to save the show, you know. He said, geez, somebody, you know. That was nice of him to... We
that was nice. Where,
I was able to finally get back on, and we talked. And
where is he from in Alaska, did you say?
Anchorage.
Anchorage.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Lila thanks him.
Yeah.
Lila thanks you there, Ron. Ron, yeah. sorry.
Yeah. So here, we have a pretty good article, huh?
No, we had a guy named Ron call us when the last show we did with George from Anchorage, Alaska, not Anchorage, Juneau.
Juneau,
Alaska. And I thought that was interesting.
Sorry, folks, I was at a meeting. I just got in.
Okay.
The son of Iran's deposed Shah, that's interesting.
Okay.
Has an interview with Israel's Channel 10 TV, asked Tel Aviv to increase its cooperation with the Iranian opposition. The children of Cyrus, the children of Queen Esther, need your help. Reza Pahlavi said, in addition to negotiation and war, there's also a third way for dealing with the Iranian establishment, which should be chosen. It is neither negotiation nor war, but mobilizing a powerful army, oh really, which is now ready to topple the establishment. That's the Islamic establishment. Now, they came over to this country. Actually, they lived in Massachusetts, not too far from here, for a while.
Who's that? So the children of Cyrus?
Yeah, of the deposed Shah. Yeah. They lived up in Williamstown, Mass.
Oh.
But they might even still live there. I don't know.
Of course, this is from Iran TV, so...
Yeah. A traitor to Iran and the Iranians, Pahlavi noted that if he met face-to-face with Israel President Shimon Peres or Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu, he would tell them that the Iranian opposition needs the help of Israel and other democratic nations to topple the Islamic establishment. Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the U.S.-UK-installed Shah of Iran, was toppled by the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. They're not even Arabs, I don't think.
Interesting.
All kinds of news, though, huh?
Yeah, this is, let's see. This I thought was kind of interesting, too. We only got a couple minutes, but I thought it was going to be, this is Iran halts Spain oil exports.
Really?
Also, ready to cut Germany and Italy.
Interesting. Informed sources who asked not to be named confirmed on Tuesday that the measure is part of Iran's counter-sanctions in reports to the EU's earlier sanctions against the country's oil and financial sectors. Earlier on Tuesday, Iran's oil minister, Rostam Kassami, said the country had stopped exporting crude to Greece after already halting crude sales to two Greek firms. According to Press TV, Iran terminated oil sales to two Greek firms, major refiner Hellenic Petroleum and major oil Hellas, on April 5th over the failure to pay for the crude purchases from Tehran.
I wanted to say, we just got about a minute left here before. I want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight. And please join us tomorrow night right here, and as well as Friday night. We're going to have George Dixon on Friday night. We have a good week lined up for you. And thanks for joining us. And
good night,
folks. We got 45 seconds left. All right.
Yep.
All right. That's great. So, good luck. Thanks, everyone. And
have a good evening.
Have a pleasant evening.
Whatever's left of it for you, huh? Not too much.
Okay. Good night.